In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's open to Psalm 119, verse 98. It says, your commandment make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are what? My meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precept. Praise the Lord. He said, your commandments make me what? Wiser than my enemies. Praise the Lord. You know, the way the Lord has taught us to overcome our enemies is it's not like the way the enemy attack us, is not? They come with hatred, they come with anger, they come with wickedness, jealousy, they are bitter, is it not? But how does God say we should overcome them? Huh? He said we should overcome them with what? With good. He said overcome evil with what? With good. And how do you know the good if you don't know the word of God? So let's pray. Let's pray as today as Pastor comes to teach us how to pray, that we'll get wiser. We'll have wisdom to overcome the enemy of our souls. Let's open our mouths, Lord. As Pastor comes here today to teach us how to pray, to open up the word of God to us, we will see Jesus teaching us the way of wisdom, the way of goodness to overcome our enemies. Yes, we'll become wiser than they. We will not be afraid by what they can do, but rather we will see what Jesus has done for us. We'll see what Jesus has done for us. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your wisdom that is going to come to us today. Your word will give us wisdom above our enemies. Give us wisdom above our enemies. In the mighty name of Jesus. So let's pray for insight today. Right, let's pray that as Pastor comes up, we'll have insight. And let us pray that as he comes up, he will be an oracle of God to us. He will be an oracle of God to us today. He will be an oracle. He will speak that which the Lord has put in his mouth. He will speak with such authority and power like he has never spoken to us before. Let's thank the Lord because he has answered our prayers. Thank you, King of Glory. Thank you for what you have done. May your name be glorified. Your word is light unto us. It's lamp to our feet. We will not walk in darkness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.
And the Lord is good.
All the time.
I said the Lord is good.
All the time.
If you believe that, can you say an amen?
Amen.
All right, let's quickly take our declaration of understanding. As we begin to study, we are going to study the word of God a bit. That is in line with our prayer meeting for today, is our school of prayer. But before we begin to study, we'd like to take our declaration of understanding. Want to let's go now, I declare.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Please, let's take our seats. There's a series of prayer teachings that we are on, which we titled, that if you look at it, the title that we gave it, even though at the beginning we didn't announce that, but if you check the tag on this message you are listening to, is praying thy kingdom come. That is, there's something about praying that the kingdom of God should come. So let's just take for a text today what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, it said, this is how you should pray. Do not be like them, that is, the Gentiles, the heathen, What did those ones do? They supposed that they would be heard for their many words. They use meaningless repetition. He said, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This is how you should pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He said, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let me just remind us that this evil, like Elder John was telling us earlier, is not evil coming to us. Deliver us from armed robbers. Deliver us from fire accidents. Deliver us from, you know, a helicopter crash. Deliver us from road traffic accidents. Those are evil. Stray bullets. And there's a proper way to pray about that, okay? The Bible gives commandments, gives promises concerning those ones. But here, he was talking about evil that we do. He wasn't talking about evil that is done to us. And that's why he started with, lead us not into temptation. That is, the temptation is to do wrong. David said, cleanse me of secret faults. Deliver me from errors that I do not understand. So that's the basis of that. That is, David was inspired to pray that same prayer. So don't ever forget, when you are praying this, you are praying actually first about your life, not about the environment. When you say, deliver us from evil, he's saying, let us not be the one to do evil. I'm going to walk in a place, they are going to come with a temptation to steal from there, and couches all kind of, with all kinds of beautiful words to say it's not stealing. Like one joke I saw once, one guy, he said, this is not stealing. This is correct positioning. You hear things like that. He said, did you go to look for the phone? No, it came to you. Now, it was a joke. Some guys were cracking. But that's how Satan does. He will help us twist the thing around until we'll have convinced ourselves that it is not wrong. If you have to talk and talk and talk to tell yourself something is not wrong, something is wrong. Do you get what I say? If it takes too long, something is wrong. And like I always say, one of the ways you can help yourself, go to a spiritual person. Now, not somebody who will say what you want to hear, somebody who is spiritual. When I say spiritual, now I don't mean the person whose eyes close when he's crossing the road. That's not what I mean. I mean somebody who reasons with the word of God, who you know, all right? A person who has a lot of respect for God's word. Tell the story to the person. If it is wrong, if it is not wrong, the person will say, if you have to be arguing, listen, it's because you are being led into temptation. You are being led into temptation. David said, deliver me from errors I do not understand. Don't let these things overtake me. We prayed about it last time, all right? That's what David was saying. So when the Lord was teaching all this here, he was saying the same thing, that we should understand that we need power, we need help from God not to do what is wrong. So we go to him and we pray, deliver us from evil. Now, just a small one. Let me go back to the main thing that we're trying to say. Now, look, that is what we're teaching today. Now, look at this. Go to verse 10 again. He said, your kingdom come, that is, may your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, there's an understanding I have there, that is, the coming of the kingdom of God is tied to the doing of his will. God's kingdom will be established where his will is being done. What did I say? You can't pray for God's kingdom to come and his will not be done. Now, let me just say this. The kingdom of God or the will of God is not done automatically. That it is not done automatically is proven by the fact that it is a prayer point. You hear what I said? That it is not done automatically is proved right here because it is a prayer point. If it was automatically done, you will never see anywhere in the scriptures that the Lord said we should pray, that the sun will rise in the east and set in the west. Do you get my point? Yes. But there are times he will tell you, you should pray to God, give us rain in the proper time.
Because there are times the rain will not fall, famine will happen. But it has never happened on this earth that the sun will not rise in the morning where it's supposed to, and then set in the evening on the proper side. It depends on the side of the globe where you are on, where you are situated. What I'm trying to say is that when he gave it to us here, pray, thy will be done. It tells us that it is not done automatically. There's something that I've been explaining to us. Okay, I've gotten into it now. That, see, the kingdom of God comes in two places. The first place is inside you, rather than outside. Rather than, you know, we talk about seven mountains, the seven mountain prophecy. We are going to take seven mountains. Again, I said, there's nothing wrong with it. You should take the mountains, okay? However, if you have not been taken as a mountain, do you get my point? If the Lord has not conquered you, you can't conquer any mountain. Any mountain you take, you'll be kicked out of it. If Egypt has not left your heart, I'm telling you, the people in the promised land, they will drive you away. What happens is what's supposed to happen to you is that you should make sure you have been conquered by the Lord as a mountain, if I may use that expression. That, listen to this is the point. That your entire will, all right, has been soaked in the will of God until you do not exist anymore as an independent person apart from him. That is when you can be concerned about the kingdom coming outside. The kingdom of God must first come in your heart. The kingdom must first come in your life. There are different, look, we talk about seven mountains outside. There are seven mountains inside you also. Please allow me. I'm just making that last statement I made. I just made it up. Are you getting my point? I hope you can get my point. There is a kingdom, there's a mountain of your desires. That is your, whether you want food, you want a kind of house, you want a place to live in. Okay? There's a mountain of your ambition. There's a mountain of your emotion. Do you know that? How you react to things. There's a mountain of your ability to forgive. Your temperament. Are you calm of spirit? Are you able to, you know, restrain your spirit? Or your emotions have a better, all right, control of you? These are mountains that must be conquered. Before you go out to go and conquer mountains outside, brethren, conquer the mountains inside your life. Do you get my point? Yeah, conquer the mountains. That John was leading us in prayer just now. He says something. That one way we are better than our enemies. We operate on different principles. David said it, that his commandments have made him wiser than his adversaries. So, the adversaries may not know how to forgive. We know how to forgive. It was saying like that in prayer just a while ago. You noticed it, okay? Like, one of the things he said in Israel then, he said, you know, when Ahab, what's the name of that king that Ahab was supposed to destroy? He said that the kings of Israel, they are heard that they are merciful. And that's a very good reputation. Even though that time the man was disobeying God, all right? But generally as a principle, they had the reputation of being merciful people. And you see, even when God gave them commandment, people don't understand the scriptures very well. You see that God said, destroy everything here, destroy. No. Those ones, God had his special reasons. But generally, God gave them restrictions concerning warfare. He told them how not to treat a land that they are conquering, except that place is under a particular kind of judgment. So the commandments make you wiser. Like when it says, love your enemies, we used to think that it was a new invention for Jesus Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ brought. No. Even before he came, under Moses, they had known that they were supposed to do good to their enemies. So God would tell them, if you find your enemy's donkey, that it fell under its load, you will help it. That's loving your enemy. Loving your enemy is not an emotional thing, like go and hug your enemy. Why should you hug somebody who might stab you? Do you get my point? But help him. If you see his children going to school, and it's raining, and the school, they could walk to it, but it's beginning to rain. Stop. Give them an umbrella. Carry them. Drop them in school. Let them go home and tell their father, it was Mr. ABC that helped us today. Hey, what did he do? What did he give you? He didn't give us anything. He just was lift to school. We didn't eat any food from his hand. Now, the commandments of God, that's what I'm making, makes us understand that life is different. We live life differently. I hope you're getting my point. So, we conquer all those things inside our hearts. The kingdom of God must first of all be established in us before it can be established outside. And how is it established? It is by his will being done. That every part of your will must be soaked and subjected to the will of God. Now, I was explaining that, you see, kingdom starts in us before we start trying to advance the kingdom outside. Paul said, take heed to yourselves first. He told the church, the leaders of the church in Ephesus, as ministers, take heed to yourselves first. And then you take heed to the flock over which God has made you overseers. If you're a preacher, listen to this. Stop studying the scriptures to preach. God help me with that thing. I don't know. Elder John. How long? Dude, I can't remember. Maybe some 30-something years ago, I took my Bible to prepare a sermon. I read it for the purpose of preparing a sermon. I can't remember. When I want to prepare a sermon, let me tell you. I close my eyes. I meditate on what I will preach. And when something drops in my head, I quickly open my eyes, write it down. I write one or two things down. I'm ready to preach. I don't even know how some people manage it. To study the Bible because you want to preach is not possible. Someone will take a book. I don't know anybody who does this now. I'm just talking. You take a book, summarize it, and come to preach it. Is it wrong? Well, I don't know. But if I'm going to do it, you know what I will do? You know me. I will get up and say, praise God. Brethren, there's one book I read. It is called The Second Coming in Glory by Elder John and Brother Nduka. My God. It blessed me so much, I decided to summarize it so that you too can be blessed by it. I won't come and tell you as if I invented something. The reason, because when I will have read that book, I won't have been reading it for your sake. I'll have been reading it for me. But maybe it blessed me so much, I said, and I'm going to preach today. No. Like one brother told, he wrote us then. He said, he doesn't bother to prepare any sermon again, no. That he'll just come and sit down, whatever I preach on Saturday. Yeah, he was honest about it. He said, whatever you preach on Saturday, I just cram it. Say tomorrow, it's the pastor of a church. It's the pastor of a church. He said, I just cram whatever it is you preach on Saturday. I go to church on Sunday. Now, why I'm going by, why I like his own is that he wasn't doing it because he was trying to preach with it. It was what he was learning. It was what he was being blessed by. So for him, why go through all this stress? In fact, there's one man I know, one day I had to beg him. I said, he preaches very well. So I go to his church. I said, okay, where are your messages? He said, no, he doesn't record them. I said, excuse me, sir, I don't understand. He said, no, you know you have preached everything. So I'm telling you what he told me. And he's older than me. He said, so in their church, the only message is circulated is the one we preach here. They used to circulate. They had everything. I said, but sir, you are preaching. He said, no, there's no need to record what you have already preached. I said, no, sir, no, it's not like that. I had to be arguing with him. That, sir, please, sir, you have to record your messages. He was wondering, why bother? Now, but this is what I'm talking about. They are not doing it for anybody. But in his own case, he wasn't trying to, pretend. No. He would tell the church people, see, Pastor Banky preached this one. So anybody who can, he will tell you, okay, you give them assignment. If you do it properly, he will give you an SD card loaded with our messages. See, this is your prize. They will clap for the person. So you have 200 messages. Go and listen to it. Where am I going with this whole talk? Me personally, that's what I do. I listen to messages all the time. That's why you hear me quote this person, say this question. I'm not quoting it because I'm trying to preach. Some of the things I'm quoting, I heard it 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Some of them, 20 years ago. Some of them, I've not read that book I'm quoting from the last 25 years. Why? But I keep reading it for myself. Not, God is my witness. I don't read anything because of anybody. I listen to messages to be blessed. I want to have more insight into the scriptures. I want to have more understanding. I want to be able to walk better in the will of God for my life. When I'm coming to preach, it's another story. All the things I have learned that I will have imbibed, of course, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth starts speaking. The Holy Spirit will have things amongst the things I have learned to pick from. For Mr. Banky, take this one, repeat it, recite it. I used to tell people that when I come to preach, I'm not the only one that comes. The number of preachers I bring along with me, I can't count. All of them have entered. The unction. There's a particular man of God. I listen to him sometimes. I used to listen to him long ago, okay? So sometimes he's preaching. My wife knows what I'm talking about. When the man is preaching. No. When I'm preaching, I'll say something. I'll tell my wife, that's that man. The man I'm talking about. I say, he doesn't use this anointing anymore. But I tapped it from him. Maybe, let's just for the discussion, maybe 20 years ago. I said, I listen to him once in a while, but I don't see this anointing in his life anymore. But I took it from, I'm not saying I took it and he finished though. Do you get my point? It's not as if you took it away, now doesn't have it. He's the one that decided not to use it again. Maybe the period in which he's supposed to use it is over, I don't know. But I just don't notice it in him. But I notice it in me. That's what I mean. There are things I will say. I just say, Kai, you know this is the person that talks like this. That's what Carnegie used to call rub off of anointing. I'm not trying to recite anybody. I just know that I said something and my spirit, I just say, no, you pick this unction from this particular individual. I've read many preachers. The point I'm making is that I never read anyone for anybody. I did not listen to any minister. Sorry to say, I love you very much, but not because of you. Are you getting my point? I wasn't thinking of you when I was studying my scriptures. You know who I was thinking of? Me. I wasn't even thinking of my wife. You better go and read your own Bible. I read my Bible for me. I study my books for me. I go to the scriptures for me. Everything I do is for me. That is, if you get my point, my own spiritual welfare. Paul said, now you can follow me as I follow Christ. So my job is not to go and look for where Christ is and come and tell you. What am I supposed to do? Just follow him. Do you get my point? I don't know whether he caught that. I won't go and look for where Christ is and now come and describe. So when you go that way, you see, all I just say is, just follow me. I know where he is. So every day I get up and I pursue him. So if God has given anybody, all right, the spirit of looking at where I'm going, the person will find Christ. So I'm not supposed to get the detailed description of where Christ is. No. I should just make sure that me, I don't lose sight of Christ. So if you are not following me fast enough, I'm sorry to say, I will leave you behind. I don't know whether you heard that point. If you're not following me fast enough, in quotes now, I won't slow down lest I lose sight of Christ. Then you and I will now miss the road entirely. So what do I need to do? Keep my eyes on the Lord. As I keep my eyes on the Lord, anyone who follows my ministry, follows my teaching, follows the words that I speak, they will find Christ. Why? Because my eyes are on him. So that's how Paul said, go and read Acts chapter 20. We won't bother reading it to you. He said, he told the church in Ephesus, the leaders, he said, take heed to yourselves. He wrote to Timothy, he said, the husbandman that labors must be a first partaker of the fruit. Do you get my point? When Paul was saying that, when he was saying to Timothy, he meant that, Timothy, these words you are preaching, you should be the first to eat them. People used to think that he meant that, you know, if you walk outside, you... No, what he meant is that this, the way it applies is that you are the laborer working in this vineyard. You must be the first partaker. He wasn't talking about material things. He was talking about the fruit of the word. So when you are preaching on patience, Timothy, preach patience to yourself. If you learn patience, start preaching it to yourself. Before you come to church and they say, brethren, we need to be patient. And they're looking like, what does patient mean? Because it cannot be this thing you are doing. You shouldn't be a bad example of something you are preaching. That's what Paul was saying. It's inappropriate ministry for you to be, that's what they call real hypocrisy. Jesus said, you see those people? They sit in the seat of Moses. He said, listen to them, but don't do as they do. They're a bad example of what they are preaching. So if they are quoting the scriptures, listen. But in your own case, he wasn't saying that's perfect. He said, but when it comes to you, Paul said to Timothy, be a first partaker of the fruit. If you are teaching on generosity, you must be. If you are teaching on patience, you must be. You must be patient. If you are teaching that people should avoid covetousness, no, the brethren should not see covetousness in you. The word must bear fruit in your life. And for me, that's one prayer I pray. And that's what I mean, what I was saying. To be honest with you, I don't, you know I'm not lying about it. I don't need the scripture because I want to preach it at all. If I ever did that, give it 30 years ago. I can't remember doing anything like that in the last 30 years that I want to preach. I'm not getting concordance, running up and down, looking for how to tie the scripture together. God forbid. That's why I don't preach certain topics. When I go to, no, like, listen, let me not build up. Okay, I'll mention one. All right. There are many of them. You won't hear me preach on when Jesus is coming. Whether it is before the tribulation or after the tribulation or midway to the tribulation. You will never hear me give an opinion on whether he's arriving on Mount Olives in Jerusalem or what they call Aso Rock Hill in Abuja. I don't give an opinion. You know why? In all my studies, nothing has entered me. I've read the book of Revelation. Being honest with you, there was a time I sat down. I still have the thing somewhere. On the different approaches, I studied for myself. I wasn't going to preach to anybody. I got materials, and that's when I understood the different approaches that theologians have for reading the book of Revelation. That's why I learned the big English. Preterist, this one, that is one in which it says they are just allegorical. One in which it's something that's future, something that has already happened, but all kinds of things. Even though, to be honest with you, after I read all of them, I came to the conclusion that all of them have a bit of truth in them. And not any one of them is correct entirely or by itself. But where I'm going is that, how many times have you seen me go beyond Revelation chapter 4? See, Revelation 1, 2, 3, I did a whole series on it. The letters of Jesus to the churches. Once we go beyond 4, there are a few scriptures we pick. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and Jesus Christ. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony and did not love their lives when faced with death. If you remove from his word, he will remove from your portion in the book. Do you get my point? If you add to it, you can see now, I'm just picking here and there. Revelation 7, Revelation 11, Revelation 20. I'm just picking here and there. As we see down that the beast that arose out of the abyss. I'm not saying it's wrong, though. Did I say so? One day, Pastor Murphy in his days, God bless his memory, he sent me a message. He said, Pastor, this spirit here, is it an angel or a demon? Until he asked that very hard question, I never thought about it. So I said, okay, I'm coming. I read and read and read, studied up and down. I told him, I don't know. I didn't have an idea. Because you know that, and God has given me understanding, before that, and God gave me one understanding, that it's not every angel that looks like an angel. Some angels they look mean. If they draw some of those things that Ezekiel saw, you think it's a horror movie. How can your face on one side be a lion? On one side be a bear? On one side, you had, what kind of creature are you? Then how can you have ears on your wings, and you have eyes. How can you have eyes everywhere? When I get to those places, I jump. Don't give me bad dreams. Some of those places, I don't sit down there. I say, I beg. Don't worry my soul. It's scripture, right? Yeah, but I cannot yet decode some of them. I can make some passing references to some things. But to sit down and say, today, I want to tell you about the living creature that has the head of an eagle. At the same time, he has the head of he has on one side the face of a lion, and then the other side the face of a bear, and one side, and then with two wings he covered his feet, and two wings he flew. If you do that movie, my children can't watch. At least when they were small, now they are big, can watch anything they like. I won't come to come. Now, please don't get me wrong. What God normally does for me, there are two things, all right? All these years, one or two things happens. One day I will encounter somebody who knows it. When the man, he will just start reading. And the only thing that I found about such people, at least this is the experience I have had. Many times I'm sitting with them. They've not started explaining. They're just reading. I suddenly start understanding. Suddenly it makes sense. Before I came, it didn't make sense. The man has not he has not explained. He just started reading. He just starts reading. And as he's reading, suddenly I'm understanding the meaning of those things. It's not understanding in me that said that was repressed, though. It is a spirit, an unction he's carrying. I walk into the presence. For every heart that is prepared, that spirit starts opening the scriptures. If I leave halfway through, I may forget. But if I sit with him and let him finish, a new line of understanding comes into my heart. I may not know everything that day, but yeah, let me tell you what I do so that you two can be like that. When I find such a person, thank God for these days of internet. Thank God for this. Before the days of internet, I know what I used to do. But these days of internet, life is easier. Google is your friend. Even when he wants to be your enemy, he can't. I will find the messages of the person. If you preach in one lungu somewhere in Tibet, and they manage to stream it to still be on YouTube, I'll go and look for it. I will download it into my app to be playing day and night until I'm able to understand the mystery of eyes all over the body. So next time you hear me talk about it, it will not be because he said so. I would personally have understood. It will have formed part of my armamentarium of knowledge. The wealth of knowledge with which I'm living my life on a normal basis. In fact, David Paulson, I listen to that man a lot. David Paulson, he hardly quotes anybody. Oh, unlike me, that I will tell you this person said, most preachers I know, they quote people. David Paulson doesn't. Rare, it's rare. Unless he wants to quote me a secular, or he wants to quote verbatim. But if his doctrine doesn't quote anybody. This is a man that he said the major problem he and his wife had in life was how he used his books to fill the house. You don't get the point. He had over 3,000 books in one house. So the disagreement between him and his wife was, Oga, come and remove this carton. And this is a British man. You know British houses? Tiny, tiny things like this. Just by the way, those of you who are wondering why Pastor Banky never agreed to either leave or visit some countries is the size of the houses. There are countries that, for me to live in them, God will have to say, Banky, I'm the Lord thy God. Walk before me and be perfect and move over to that country. I'll have to ask him, dear Lord, do you know the size of the houses? That's just where I am. Alright? So imagine living in that kind of house and you have 3,000 books. You must prosper by force. Yeah, because you have to have a place to keep your books. That's how many books that man had. He had more than that. I can just remember 3,000. I'm sure maybe it was more up to 6,000. He was an ardent reader. He read all the time. Yet he hardly quoted anybody. One day I heard him give the reason. He said, until that truth becomes mine, I don't repeat it. By the time I'm repeating it, it's my own. You're not getting it. I keep reading. I keep learning. But you won't hear it from my mouth until I've personally understood it. I understood what it meant or what it means. And by that time, I will say it because I believe it. Then you can quote me. I'm the one adding words to it. If somebody has to be shot for this truth, then you shoot me. I won't say, no, it's the wife that gives me. Do you get my point? No, in that kind of Adamic deflection. Say, no. I have to make sure it is mine before it becomes part of what I say. Are you getting my point? I said all of this to just explain the fact that you take heed to yourself. The kingdom of God in you, that is first. It's not the one outside. And I was using this one to explain to preachers. You don't study the scriptures because you want to preach. You study the scriptures because you want to live. Are you getting my point? Yes, you study the scriptures to live. You study the scriptures to apply it in your life. Okay? You can't give me, again, I'm back to it now. As a preacher, you can't give me a topic I don't understand and I'll come and preach on it. And good enough, as a preacher, we can twist any topic to what we want to say. If you tell me, talk about when Jesus is coming, and you say, Pastor Bank, it must be you, I won't fight you. I will come. The only thing I know about when Jesus is coming is that no man knows the hour. People say you can know the signs of when it's likely to be. Okay. To that, I now ask you a question. So what are you planning to do about it? If the sign, now listen to it carefully. If the sign indicates accurately by your method of calculating it that he will not show up for the next 1,000 years, how would it change how you are living today? Think about it. In fact, I've said it before. If they tell me accurately that Jesus is coming back next week, be honest with you, where I'm supposed to go tomorrow, I'll still go. Why? Because blessed is the man, or is the one who the master finds so doing. It is what you do on a as a habit that matters. So if I know I shouldn't go there because it's coming next week, I'm not going to go even if it's coming in 1,000 years. I don't know whether you're getting my point. One man said, I can't remember who said this now, that the real sign of being ready for the coming of Jesus is not what you would do if he was coming tomorrow. It's what you would do if you were sure it wouldn't come for the next 100 years. So the people who are really ready, let's check what they are doing if they were so certain it wouldn't come for 100 years. So if you tell me to come and preach on that subject, that's what I'm going to preach. One, no one knows the hour, so each one must live ready. Treat every moment as if he's going to come any moment from now. Sometime ago, I asked myself, if they gave me 6 months to live, that is, I don't mean doctors. Doctors can say things that are not true. Is that okay? They can be mistaken. Because a doctor can say, you don't have any problem. You will live for the next 10 years. You die tomorrow. Doctors can tell you that the way things are, it looks like you will die in the next 3 weeks. 3 years later, you attend the funeral of the doctor. You will not be fully well, but at least the doctor is dead. And you are still alive. And when he was telling you, he was looking very healthy. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. So, I'm not talking about doctors saying it, but I'm talking, if the Lord were to send an angel, like he did send the prophets to Ezekiah, and he told Ezekiah, put your house in order, for you will die and not live. He does that. If he were to do that, I asked myself, if he said, Bank, you have 6 months. I said, what will I do? Like, which kind of thing will I begin to do, knowing that I have only 6 months to go? And I told myself, that thing you would have done, just do it now, assuming you have 6 months. It's not when they announce to you that you have 6 months, you start preaching all the messages you are supposed to preach. Because usually that's what somebody like me will do. I start rushing to write all the books, everything that I've not preached. I say, hey, preach it now. Must they give you 6 months notice before you now start hurrying? Be diligent. Don't be slothful in business. We learned that on Saturday. Be eager. Be passionate about the things of the kingdom. Do it quickly. You know, someone said, when I make money, I will do this. God said, better do it now with the little money you have. One young man, one day, when I heard the story, it was so painful. His father was a good man, took good care of them, struggled very hard. The man said, when I make money, of course, and as soon as I had any money, he bought a car, nice the car up. It was not a brand new car, it was a bit fairly used, but he made sure the car was very nice. He sent it for spraying, they sprayed it. As they were delivering the car, he wasn't going to dash it to his father. As they were delivering the car, they called him that his father had died. True story. It's a very sad story. It was nice in the car up to go and deliver it. As we were walking on the car, I think I finished spraying the car. He was just looking, when am I going to go home to go and surprise my father? He got a call from home. The man had passed. So that sometimes, look, don't delay something, important things. Don't. Sometimes people tell you what they will do for God when God will have blessed them. And you are looking at the person. This one, what you did now, God never bless you. You say, man of God. Hey, when God bless you, I'll just buy a house, I'll just dash it to you. Today, you never buy me umbrella. What is house for? The much God has blessed you now, I never see your shirt. I should be waiting till God will bless you so that you can buy a whole house. If I tell you what's in my mind, you won't listen to me again. The Lord is good. Oh God, I'm just stuck on that. I'm just emphasizing that, look, take heed to what? Answer me now. Take heed to what? If you're a preacher, please take it to yourself. That's what I'm saying. Take it to yourself. Your messages, your utterances should be out of the abundance of that which God has placed inside your heart. That which you are walking by. The husbandman that labors, Paul told Timothy, must be the first partaker of the fruit. So, what's the application to those of us who are here, that is Christians generally, apart from preachers? The application is that the kingdom must be established inside you. All the mountains in your life must be conquered. Isaiah said it like this, Isaiah chapter 40. Bring down those mountains. Elevate the valleys. Make a smooth road for the Lord in the wilderness. Then the glory of God will be automatically revealed. And what we are saying is that that kingdom, how does it come? If it's going to come into your life, it's a simple statement that must be made. Your will be done in my life as it is written in heaven. I've established this before. When they say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Please don't misread it. I misread it as a young person. It's just a few years ago that God corrected me. It is not your kingdom be done on earth as it is being done in heaven. Many people read it like that. I don't know why I read it like that. I think somebody misinformed me, I think. Your will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. As it is predetermined in heaven. As it has been recorded in heaven, not as it is being done. After all, we know Satan was in heaven and he did not do. You get what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So, it's not that in heaven everybody does. No. What it means is that your will be done on earth as you, Lord, predetermined it in heaven, as you wrote it down concerning my life. So, the will of God, therefore, for it to come into my life, it is that my will, that's the point, my will has been subjected to the recorded will of God in every aspect, in every ramification. It's our school of prayer. We are magnifying the role of prayer because as a matter of fact, you know, sometimes we think you just take the scriptures. No, don't forget. He said you study the scriptures thinking in them you have life. You don't come to me. That the scriptures are supposed to help you come to the Lord. You know what he promised. You now read these promises to him. And say, Lord, I have come. Time to fulfill this promise in my life. I hope you're getting my point. Please let me say this. Again, I'm always apologizing. Lest I appear like Mr. I like to criticize. No. Just I like to help people who listen to me. When you want to pray, therefore, Paul said, I will pray with my spirit. And I'll also do what? No, what did he say? I'll also do what? Pray with my understanding or pray with my mind. Is that okay? What it means is this. And you read through the scriptures. The record we have of scriptures, the people usually knew what they were saying. I hope you're getting my point. So don't downplay it. No, because I see a lot of spirituality, which I think are unnecessary. They are not effective. You can't speak in tongues until your will is inside God's will. You will read the will and read it out to God and say to him, this is what I have come for. Then you can use tongues to finish the rest. If you don't know how to, I don't know whether you're getting my point. Uh-huh. Like I give as an example. I read in my scripture, that same Acts chapter 20 that we've been quoting. Paul, when he was leaving, he said, I have coveted nobody's silver or gold. When a king was being chosen for Israel, Samuel got up and said the same thing before Israel. Whoever gave me a bribe, whose gold did I take? I read all of these things. As a leader, as a teacher of the word, as a minister of the gospel in the body of Christ, I read all of those things. I said, God, this is what you want us to be like, right? Good. So I read it to the Lord. Do this in my life. If you like, after that, finish it with groaning and speaking all kinds of dimensional tongues. Are you getting my point? It's fine. But don't ever come not knowing what the word says. Do you get where I'm going? Don't ever come not knowing what the word says. Your prayer life cannot be founded on ignorance. Have you heard this thing before? I want to go against it so that Christians can stop it. People say that when you speak in tongues, Satan is confused. It's a lie. It's a meaningless statement. When Jesus spoke, was it not in English that he wrote for all of us? What could Satan do about it? Never downplay the word of God. No, the funny thing, those who say, they themselves, they are confused. And then I'm saying, like, you're not looking spiritual. You don't know what you are saying. Satan does not know what you are saying. So what's your advantage? If God were to answer, you wouldn't even know he answered anything. Relax, my brother. Relax, my sister. Let's leave that thing. Let's don't talk, you know. Some of these things I found out is pure laziness. People are not ready to study the scriptures. Somebody will go, say, I'm fasting and pray. I've told you, if you like, listen. If you like, don't listen. All I know is that I've told you the truth. You are going for 10 days fasting and prayer. You don't have a set of prayer points with the word of God that you want to handle for 10 days. You just go hungry. You won't eat from morning till maybe what time? 6 o'clock. Some say 3. Okay, let's even say 12. You don't eat from morning till 12. At 12, you now start speaking in tongues, and then you groan. You do all of that for 2 hours. Then you go and eat. You are a time waster. You are a time waster. You have wasted time. I will say it again and again. If you are going to go to work, on that day of fast, take a light breakfast. Don't go and faint where you are selling the market. Before you know what's happening, now something that's supposed to be 2,005, you sell it for 250. Yes, now, but because you know you were weak and tired. You say, have you not broken the fast? The fast is not the state of hunger. The fast is the concentration of the things of the spirit. So if you can be there selling something in the market, bro, you can be there eating too. Do you get my point? So if you say, okay, I want to sell. While you are selling, take a biscuit. Say, okay, be breaking it in your mouth and drinking water. Then when you finish, drop it. Go back to the corner and stay on the, that's where I'm going. Stay on the word of God. The aim of that fasting period is to have you transformed. Do you get my point? You have an object. You should have. And you can't have except you are full of the word of God, except you are full of scriptures. The will of God is written. Do you get my point? The will of God is recorded. What God wants to do in your life is written. I mean, that's what people like Paul existed for, to write them. The reason why Paul, some people, well, now as it affects you, something, the reason why Paul existed was to carry the gospel everywhere. I think it's good, all right? Don't you think it's good? I think it's good. But as far as we are concerned, as far as I'm concerned, the reason why Paul existed was to write the letters. The journey to all the churches in those areas, Antioch and where are the churches now? I didn't know Islamic territories. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's not helping me. You say most of them are modern day Turkey. Is that okay? So in my own generation, what matters? There are few books that exist on this earth, like the book of Ephesians. I don't believe that you can have complete Christianity without the book of Ephesians. Now, Colossians is about the same thing. If you go and read Colossians and Ephesians, they're about the same thing. So let's just take them as one. That Ephesian-Colossian combination, there's no Christianity without it. There are things inside there Romans does not have, the book of Romans. You don't find a book of Philippians. I believe that Paul existed, lived. God gave him life to write. Now, I'm one of those that believe he wrote the book of Hebrews. And I don't want to give you my argument now. It's not necessary. Okay? If you want to know, I'll tell you after. One of my arguments was that there was no argument about it for the first maybe 100, 200 years. Then suddenly some wise people stood up and said, we're not sure he wrote it. I said, bro, those early people, they knew who wrote it. Okay, but you read the book of Hebrews. Okay? It helps you understand what they call the Old Testament and then how as it relates with the New Testament. Where I'm going is that it's when you have read these books. Of course, these books actually explain to you what Isaiah said. These books explain to you what David said in the Psalms. This book explains to you things that Daniel saw and prophesied. So you want to go to prayer, you've not loaded your heart with this book, then in that case, forget your long fasting. The first thing you need is to fast on the word. Are you getting my point? That is, don't forget food. Food is not the issue. Let me tell you something some people don't like because they think I'm not very spiritual. If you want to go and study the word, now let me ask you a question. Let's be practical about it. You take the book, you want to go and study it and all that. What do you need? Hunger or a small food that's not heavy? Some people are in their Bible, they are seen three lines, perverse. Because they are too hungry and they're feeling spiritual. No, you don't need that, oh, brethren. Let me tell you, sometimes I'm not a coffee person. I have my personal issue with coffee. And okay, let me help those who follow me. Because I think it's addictive. All right? If you're a regular coffee consumer, you become dependent on it. You find out that the day you don't drink it, you can't function. So I keep away from it as much as possible. But occasionally, when I have work to do like that, maybe I want to study, I drink it. So that there's nothing like dozing. Do you get my point? So that there's nothing like dozing. My eyes are weak. You need that. That's what I'm, in fact, the original, when I saw the history of coffee, the earliest record they had of coffee was that it was used by mystics for meditation. So when they want to meditate, they brew it so as to stay awake through the night. Do I recommend it for Christians? Well, if you can stay awake, whatever you have to do, just stay awake. If you have to pace up and down, stay awake and fast with the word of God. There's something I personally find interesting. Get a very nice audio Bible. Put it in your ears and have the physical Bible, the same version in your hand. Yeah, it works. It works. So if you are listening to NIV audio, have NIV in your hand. When it says something, be reading it along. And when it goes to a point, press pause. Read it again. Rewind it. You'll be amazed that you know before you know, in a short while, you have finished the book of Philippians. That one that normally when you try to read, you sleep. When you stand up, put it in your ears, you have the book in your hand, somebody is playing it in your ears, you will finish it, you go over it again. Before you know what's happening, people say, I have read the whole Bible. You too, you have read, listened the whole Bible. Do you get my point? Where am I going? The will of God is written. And when you are going to pray, that is what you take to prayer. Are you getting my point? Yes, and then now, you remember we are saying it's your own life. That's the first place where I conquer all mountains. Isaiah said to us, the mountain must be conquered. Listen to this carefully. A major problem in life, why God cannot bless people, is their will. You hear what I said? No, you didn't hear it. You're silent. A major problem in life, why people cannot be blessed by God, is their will. One major place where God has conflict with human beings is concerning will. Will. And when I say will, I mean literal will. Where I want to live, the job I want to do, who I want to marry, you know, how much money I want, you know, the will, the thing that I want. Have you heard this thing before? You follow your passion. You follow your passion. Brethren, follow your passion with care. Your taneku. Follow your passion with care. Be carefully, careful with care. Follow your passion. Because this passion can mislead. Let me prove it to you. Whose passion was it to go to the cross? Nobody now. Even Jesus Christ with all his holiness. He did not have a passion for the cross. If they told you he had a passion for the cross, it's a lie. He did not have a passion for the cross. In fact, he went to ask the Father. You know, say Father means Nna, Abi. Say Nna. Heavenly Nna. If it is possible, can we passionately avoid this one? You know, I was thinking about it. People say, follow your passion. I say, no, it's not true. It's not true. There are many things God wants you to do. It's not your passion. It's only when His Spirit has now put it inside you. Are you getting my point? Passion gets people into trouble. It's only when you have taken care, time, to submit your passion to God. That's when you start following it too. When you have given, and these are the things we are praying about. That's what, thy kingdom come into our lives. Thy will be done in my life. That's what it means. So. Listen, Maurice Cerullo. He said all his life he wanted to be, he wanted to be a doctor. He wanted to do that. Then one day the vision of God came. Called him to be an evangelist. He said, I know they do. He was very young that time though. He was a young boy. I mean, in his late teens. He was not up to 20. The vision of God came to him. He said, I don't want to do. Now, if I remember the story well, it's been a while. He turned around, you know, from where the vision, he turned around to walk away. Then where his foot was, when he removed his foot, it became transparent. He could see into damnation, where people were falling into hellfire. That was what gave him a new passion. Let me tell you, Lester Sumrall said when he started preaching, he had only one passion, to stay alive. Because he said he wanted to be rich. See, let me tell you, young men, young women, all of us, in case you have missed it, get it clear now. Your destiny was determined before you were born. God is not waiting for you to come and describe what you would like to do. He's waiting for you to discover what he created you to do. He's not. No, I've seen people say before, no, you have to take your life in your hand. Don't worry. Take it first. When it falls out of your hand and breaks, you will come back to what we are teaching you. It's not everywhere you can live. I've been saying that, and people think it's just, see, if you like, back to where God didn't send you. You will enter. God always asks, where are you? You don't make a discovery for God. Say, God, I discovered that if I go here, there will be money. God said, go there, you'll find other things apart from money. I will tell you, I need your money. Any sacrifice you bring to God, he didn't ordain, he doesn't accept. Let me say it again. Any sacrifice you bring to God, he did not ordain, he doesn't accept. You don't just go and bring him anything you like. You will ask him, what exactly should I bring? He will tell you, I want a ram. This is the year. This is the number of years it should be. He will tell you, it shouldn't have this or that. He will tell you, I want an animal that does not have clipped hooves. I want an animal that chews the cord. If it doesn't chew the cord and has clipped hooves, it's not acceptable. That's why when Noah was entering into the ark, God told him, for this animal, speak 7 each. The other one, speak 2. Because he made a provision for sacrifices to himself. When Abraham was going, he told Isaac, the Lord will provide for himself a sacrifice. It's the law of scripture. The Lord provides for himself a sacrifice. Go and see. Many people don't understand it. When Cain was rejected, he says, sin lieth at the door. Listen, I have studied that thing extensively. The word sin is used for 4 different things. That word sin is used for iniquity that people do, number one. It's used for what they call the consequences of iniquity. It's also used for a sin offering. If you read it properly in that context, what he said is that sin lieth at the door. God had brought an animal sacrifice for Cain. Take it and go and offer it. Say you must master it. You have to be the one to take it, lay it on the altar, and offer it as a sacrifice. Are you getting my point? Kenneth Hagin told us a story. You know, somebody who has blessed me so much, prophet of God. He was pastoring very well. God said, I never called you to be a pastor. He was a preacher. God said, for the first 12 years of your preaching life, you had not entered the first phase of the ministry I had for you. He had been a pastor most of those years. So for 12 years, he did not enter the... He said, God said to him, when you left your last church, listen to this, when you left your last church, you entered into the first phase of the ministry I had for you. Furthermore, the Spirit said to him, many ministers live and die, and they do not enter the first phase of the ministry God had for them. And you see them all over the place sweating, thinking they are working for God. There are many people giving offerings. And God says, did they ask you for money? Some of them, you know, the offering is a cut of disobedient reward. Did you get my point? God says, sit down here. They left there to go and run for money. So they now made a million. They know that I'm not supposed to be here. But here where I am now is working. So to pacify God, they go back and give him half of the money. And God looks and says, anytime you bring offering like this, you have told me you disobeyed me and it's working. All I can see is disobedience. You know, God said something. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Many of us think that God is impressed with money. At all. Money does not impress him. You know what he said? The silver is mine. The gold is mine. The whole earth is mine. So, as people say, when you give God, God does not. The only thing that moves God is obedience. It's when you obey him that he's moved. When you trust him enough to obey, they go together. Do you get my point? No, that's what moves him. You make a great... See, Isaac, giving Isaac to God was not what moved Abraham because it was a sacrifice of love. No, it was a sacrifice of trust. that this guy trusts me so much. He obeyed what I asked for. If somebody decided to give, do you get my point? Something that God did not provide, God does not accept. Bear that in mind, though. First, I'm running up and down, thinking that if I just acquire this, I give to God, God will know that. Know what? You go to where he didn't send to go and acquire money he didn't give you. You now bring it to come and cut him his own portion. That's why I wrote the article, "It's not like other gods." All those other gods are hungry. So you have to feed them. Do you get my point? What God wants from you is obedience. What he wants from you is his will. That, you know, he wants your will exchanged deliberately for his own. That's what he wants. What God wants is your will exchanged for his own. That you will say, "Lord, here is my will. Take. Bury it with your own. Let me use it for only one purpose, to follow your will." So the concept of follow your passion, I dropped it long ago. Many passions are dispassionately disloyal. Or they are passionately disloyal. They are disobedient. What God wants from them, they are not giving him. One day, one man was telling me, man of God, but one other man of God he met, he had left his church. He had started doing contracts, joining politicians. That as a church, we need to take hold of these things. God said, "Did I send you?" See, I don't know why people think that being rich is more important than preaching the truth. Sorry, I don't want to join in the controversy of poor pastor. Are you getting my point? Yeah. I know Elder John is not a rich pastor, but at least we can still follow him. Do you get what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But I don't want to join the controversy. But what gave you the impression that having money means anything? It doesn't. Having truth is eternally more important than having money. See, I don't even know, honestly, that kind of thing that, you know, I will never follow. You know, you heard that story? Is that the church you go to? I heard somebody say, "I will never follow a poor pastor." I'm sorry, I'm not even happy we took it seriously. As far as I consider it a joke. You know, the way I crack jokes once in a while, I speak English that does not exist. That's what I think the man was doing. Nobody with his head on his shoulders will say that if he's serious. So I'm not angry with him. I believe he was not serious. I don't know things I say once in a while. I tell Elder John. I said, "Elder John, see, I can tell you how to make $100 million in 1 week. You will die early, but at least." Do you get my point? You know I say it once in a while. Look at the way you laughed. Would it be right for someone to go and say that? Do you know Pastor Banky said he was telling one of his associates that he knows how to twist the word of God to make $100 million in 1 week, and that the man would die early? Want to say, "Abba, he was just joking now." Is that not what he would say? That's the way I took that one. Yeah, no, you can't be serious. Because truth, Paul said, "As poor, yet making many rich." What are you talking about? Do you get my point? There are things that have eternal value. There are things that have only temporal value. This emphasis we have placed on money. See, when Pastor Annie was around, if you notice, the emphasis was on creation of what? Wealth, value. This life, God gave it to us, it has to be productive. So you go out, what the Bible calls wealth is strength. See, the Lord thy God gave it the power to do what? To create strength, wealth, ability to invent. For example, the people who made my device, I don't care how rich they have become or how much I had to pay for it. The important thing is that easily, when I was making notes today in my office, I was working on my computer. And as soon as I finished, I picked the tab and the note was inside there. I mean, instantly, as I shut, I just closed the note I was making and I picked my tab. I knew it would be there. I knew. Because I worked on my account on Google, and I knew it would have reflected everything. Value has been created. There are books I don't open again. We used to have all those fat things. Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. I had Cruden's Concordance. You had all kinds of, we want to go to church, you have to carry 4 or 5 Bibles. They put them in one, it's fat like this. The gift they gave pastors those days was 3 kilograms, one book. How many versions inside? Just 4. The common versions they used to have was King James, Amplified, NIV, and NASB. That was my own combination. Now, on this tiny device, if I want 100 versions, it's lying down there. I have maybe 500 messages lying around. I don't know how many scores of books. Whoever created this has produced what? Wealth. What it produces is what? Wealth. What used to be a massive library. For me now, it's just something that weighs, minus the case, does not even weigh up to 300 grams. Minus the case doesn't weigh up to 300, maybe about 250 grams. And look at the number of books inside. That's what they call wealth. Back to what I'm saying. So, when somebody said that, I won't follow your pastor, it's meaningless. You know, the person was joking. So I beg you to forgive him. I mean, sometimes we don't eat before we come to church, so the brain shuns. So we say things. I've said things before that I got home. You know, before we release our message, we edit them. Anything I say that's not congruent, we cut it off. Say, Pastor, you were sleeping when you said that one. Say, I beg Holy Spirit that time. Say, Banky, I warn you, don't repeat that again. So forgive the bro. Forgive the bro. Forgive the bro. Let's just forgive him. Do we forgive him? Yes, sir. Was he joking?
Yes, sir.
He was joking. Huh? John, what's your problem? Warn yourself. Who? He said the man is not repentant. Did he pray to you? The Lord is good. The point I'm just making, brethren, is that there are things that have eternal value. Okay? So we can't go and pursue temporal things in disobedience to the will of God and offer it to him and expect him to be impressed. No, we can't. We can't go and pursue temporal things in disobedience to the will of God and offer the things to the Lord and expect him to be impressed. No. He will not be impressed. Your ambition is your will. It has to be dropped and subjected to the will of God. Your desires is your will. It has to be dropped and subjected to the will of God. The dream you have had, do you know? There are things that sound good to you. Let me go home and bury my father. Is that not a good thing? Jesus said it has to be subjected to the will of God. There are things that are very rational in the eyes of people, even good people. And Jesus will say, it has to be subject to the will of God. I think it was Watchman Nee, one of those men, that was pursuing a PhD. And God said to him, I don't want it. Just before he finished, the Lord said, go home. You know what I said? This is, we preachers will do it. You see your name. Assume your name is John Unduka. Now I preach, you call, you come preach, or you put PhD in front. Meanwhile, your PhD is in engineering. It's not in theology. No, actually, you know, sometimes I look at it, all right? You have to be, now, just by the way, be careful how you use titles. It shows the amount of flesh you have sometimes. What concerns me, you write your name, Unduka John. You are our guest preacher for today. You are teaching from the book of Ephesians. And you put PhD. Meanwhile, your PhD is in philosophy. Your PhD is in engineering. Your PhD is in home economics. What has that got to do with the book of... Why are you putting it there for us? Maybe full gospel we want to use it to show that we go to school. But when you are coming to church, we don't need it. When I see the way sometimes we throw titles around, I said, flesh never come off our body. No, flesh never come out. You should know, just by the way, Pastor, know how you use titles. There are places where your titles don't belong. One day I went to preach, I just told people, I said, people introduced me to Dr. Bank, I said, I'm in church. Stop using that. When I get to the hospital, use it. One day one man was preaching, said, like, Dr. Bank is there. Somebody said, Pastor Banky. He said, it doesn't, I said, I told him, right there, I said, I don't like it. What's the title doing for you? I'm here to preach the gospel. Am I here to check why you have headache? Am I diagnosing your problems medically? You should know how to use titles. In fact, in case you don't know, it personally gets on my nerves. When I'm in church, I'm supposed to preach, somebody use the title doctor, I'm like, for what now? Are you my student? I mean, of medicine? You're not. You're not my resident doctor. You are not. I mean, we are here with the most important thing I would do with my life. And you are, what do you think? You think the title pastor is inferior to the title doctor? I don't know how you reason. For me, it's the opposite, though. I magnify my office. I like it. The other day, my classmates, we met. 34 years. Reunion. We do that every few years. I graduated in school in 1991. So our last one, when we met. So they gave everybody 2 minutes to say what you are doing now. I'm going to tell you, these are big people. If I mention some multinational head of their medicals, this one, these are people. One of the richest Nigerian women that till today, it's my classmate. These are people, you know, important people now. What are you talking about? When it was my turn, the Holy Spirit just ticked me. Ah, I said, Holy Spirit, thank you. I got up. Of course, they all know me. What do I do? I said, after we left school, I did it. I said, now let me just summarize. That's the exact words I use. I said, I'm a Bible teacher. I teach the word of God. I told them, I'm on radio stations. I've written this number of books, this and that and that and that and that. Before I left, I said, on the side, I'm a pathologist. One guy, the chief medical director, said, I will tell your CMD. I said, go away. They're my classmates. They know me. They know my qualifications. They know everything. I said, I came to Enugu. I know what I came to Enugu to do. Ask this man. Apart from being here on Tuesdays and on Saturdays teaching the word, we meet one other time of the week, recording what you hear on Pastor Barking in 10. Doesn't preach itself. We have to gather in the studio and record the messages. I prepared them by myself. I did them down to the 10 minutes, put it there. Every week, we have at least a number of them out. That's the job I do, and I'm very proud of it. Don't take that away from me and give me something else, my friend. Now come to church and say, like Dr. Banks, what is Dr. Banks? What is wrong with you? Is this the hospital? Are there sick people here that I have to administer something to? No, these are Christians I'm talking to. Amongst them, I am a minister of the gospel, a teacher of the word. When I enjoy, when they say, Rabbi, I say, now you're talking. Now that John likes to, he knows how to heal me very well. He said, our rabbi. I said, good. It's well with you. No, really. So, you see, many times in this life, distractions come. We use prayer. See, there was a time, I can't tell you now because there are issues. I can't tell you everything. One day, some things came up. I just took. I knew what she would say. I called Mamia. And we talked and talked. And she said, listen, I knew she was under the unction because she's a prophetess. She has an anointing of God upon her. And she uttered the word and said, there is nothing you will do for God that will not cost you. I said, thank you, ma. I hung the phone. Yes. Because some of the things we do, they take things away. People think that when you say righteousness will just pay you. No, like my wife said, when the righteousness does not pay. You know what I mean? Pay. Sometimes your righteousness, it collects from you. But the important thing is that you are fulfilling the will of God. That's the important thing. Anytime the world wants to take you away from where you fulfill the will of God, you have to get on your knees and say to him, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. There are times you want to marry. They say that, you say, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. They will tell you that, they will give you all kinds of things, story up and down. Nevertheless, the one that still makes me laugh. People still want to marry from their physical, geographical area. One sister told my wife that, you see, if the wife and husband are from the same place, it will reduce the chance they will have marriage problems. Thank you, sir. Now lie. I don't know why anybody can lie that kind of lie to themselves. And the person that said that kind of thing had problems. The valid geography you're supposed to use is the Church of Christ. I hope you're getting my point. Go and read my book. Should I say yes? People say, did God speak to you? I said, he did. He said, how did he say it? I said, the officiating priest said, I pronounce you man and wife. I mean, what did God say before that? I said, I saw the girl. I liked her. He said, what do you mean? I said, wait, let me explain. What kind of girl did I like? Let's talk about that. I said, that's what we should talk about. Nevertheless, not my will. I went through the scriptures, looked over my life. I saw what God was doing, at least what I understood of it. And I knew that it had to align this way. Brethren, Oh, how I love your law. That's what David said. God, you see, oh, I love your word. Oh, how I love your word. I love the word of God. I love my Bible. I love my scriptures. There's no book I've read. What are you saying? Around the word of God, every day, it's my meditation. You enter my room, my phone is playing a message. And it's not today. I've been like that for a very long time. For a very long time. So when it was time to marry, I said, this thing cannot be... let me tell you the truth. Something the other day, I was telling my wife, something led to it. I was telling my wife. I said, God bless you, seeing that you are Mario. Because the kind grace where I get. I'm sorry. I will walk out neatly out of any woman that would disturb my word. I will say, I hate divorce. That's your problem. I won't remarry somebody. I will rent another house and keep you and your foolishness in another house. I won't go back there. If I will be pursuing you every day to beg you to serve God, I will pray that God will die you. How nonsense is that? I miss my destiny and destiny of my children because you won't grow up and have common sense. God forbid, though. I will warn you that I will carry your matter to God. And when I become your accuser, you don't quite be that. Just be praying that I'm praying for you all the time. No matter how much my wife has offended me in this life, I have never reported her to God. I don't let that happen. The wife thou givest me. God has given me understanding. I know they do that kind of thing. No. If I want to vex, I go vex for Yinka. I will kick him. I'll look for somebody else to vex for. But I won't carry her matter to God. And I know go report. If I kneel down and her matter, before God comes up, there's only one thing I can say. Father, help my wife. Lord, have mercy upon her. I will pray those kind of prayers. Why won't you pray for a troublesome woman? Let me tell you the truth. Go and read your Bible. Paul never prayed for unserious Christians. You won't like what I'm saying. Go and read it. He said, ever since I heard of your faith and the love you have for the saints, I have not ceased to pray for you. Those ones that are begging to come to church, Paul not get their time. Those ones that they will not make any sacrifice for the kingdom. Paul did not have their time. Go and read your Bible. He said, when I heard of your faith, they were not perfect though. They were speaking in tongues and jamming each other. They were dedicated to the faith. So he said, my little children, for whom I travel in birth again until Christ is formed in you. But at least when they were being misled on doctrine. Not somebody they have to beg. Going to come to church. They say, me and my mates will get party. You now wear half clothes. Can they say, the video they come down. Paul never, look, that one is your mother that will pray for you. I'm not saying you don't pray for those people, but that one is their mother. Paul? You didn't have that kind of time. What am I going to say? I'll tell my wife, I say, okay, God will bless you. Because every day she leans to Pastor Banky 10. Every day. When she's getting ready in the morning, I will be hearing me preaching. I said, God bless you. He said, how come? I said, listen, it was what I begged the Lord for before I married. I said, Lord, I can't marry a woman who I go to beg and may go shush. Some of you guys in a trial. You really are not serious. You're not planning to prosper in this life. You are chasing a woman, you are begging to go to church. You never marry, you don't need a beggar. Fire you there. What kind of nonsense is that? Beg the woman you have not married. You are still begging her. And that we didn't see you in service. Say, I was sleeping. So maybe I'll pick you up when we are going on Sunday. When you get to the house, please, I've gone. You're not at home now. I went to do my nails. And you still came back. You said you are a glutton for punishment. You're not planning to prosper by God. Something disturbing your soul. That kind of thing. You know what you do? You just write, what is your name again? Maybe your name is Uche. You write Ada Uche Wuzere. You know what Uche Wuzere? Elijah, do you know? Was here. That's war. You know what it means? Those people used to do, when we're in secondary school those days now, when seniors are going to write it there, maybe Ade Wuzere. That is, it's actually was here. You go tell her, say, Uche was here. That is, it is worse. I ain't coming back. When it's after 1 week, you didn't call me again, so guy, okay, go shush. I realize that you don't want to serve God. I will never, there's nothing. See, people say they fell in love. Come on, get up out of love. What kind of falling in love is that? Anything that is falling, it is fall. Are you getting my point? Now fall. Brethren, I'm serious. I love the world so much, I would do for the peace in a home. For sure, a woman out of the world. Like. I tell the girl. Now, here I did. If I used to tell my wife something before we got married that time, I said, was this before God, shortly after we got married? I said, see. I said, okay. If I say, let's go here, and you say, let's go here, I said, let me just tell you now. See that place I said we should go? Eh? I am going. Whether you follow me or you don't. People say, Pastor Banky, why? I said, because if I am wrong, at least you will have one good thing on your side. When God comes, what are the two of you doing here? Say, Lord, my husband said we should come here. You are free. You are covered. I said, but if you are wrong, and God says, what are the two of you doing here? How will I answer? Just think about it. I said, two sins against me. One, I came to a wrong place. Two, I listened to the voice of my wife. Is that what I told Adam? I said, so you have place. Let's reduce the likelihood of being punished. Just follow me. That's the kind of person I am. This word of God, I told the Lord, I won't compromise it for anything. I've seen people use it to get a lot of money. I said, I told God, please, I don't care how hungry I am. May I not twist your word for anything? People don't know. God said, if you add to it, I will add to you the plagues inside this book. People will be adding to his word anyhow. He said, if anybody adds to it, see this plagues inside this book, I will add to the person. And he was talking to Christians. People say that, you know, as a Christian in Christ, Jesus, as a Christian in Christ, that book was written to Christians. No, in Christ, it was Christians he warned, don't add to his words. That way, it will make you out to be a liar. Sometimes the spirit says, because of money, you're adding to the word of God. I'm like, excuse me? Like my wife will say, don't these people fear God? The way she says it, she just said, my husband, I don't understand. Is that they don't fear God? Because she said, if it is me, that is her, she said, I'll be looking over my shoulder, whether God is coming. You know, you do something, say, God, I'm not, people say, are you going out today? You say, I'm not going. And you're not going out because you know you have sinned. That if you leave this front, like they say, if you leave this domot, the side of God that is waiting for you outside, say, let me repent first. Let him forgive me first before I step out. People will lie and boldly come to church. Pastor, we take God's word. And you think those scriptures are written for, they are not written for believers though. It is Christians, he said, he will add to their lives the plagues written inside the book. They add to his words. I fear the word of God. That's why when I was praying, why if you go marry? I said, God, please give me a woman who will love your word. I don't want fight. Do you get my point? I don't want family fight. We can disagree over other things. But at least, let it be a common, you know what they call lowest common, how do you say, that lowest common denominator, right? What's the other one now? Highest common factor or something. Anyway, you know what I mean? LCA, the one they used to put... anyway, something that will bind us together. Did you get my point? Yes. A common denominator or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, A plus B over C. That C is the one I'm talking about. It must be something that all of us rest upon. And because I understood that my life is the word of God. One day I was talking to my mother. I told my mother, I said, this was why. If, you know, I think it was the spirit of the prophet. I said, this was why God allowed you to conceive me. I told my mother that. I said, this is why I didn't die at birth. Whether it's bringing money or it doesn't, we must do it. I've seen people who just abandon. You do understand? God is not in a financial contest with anybody. It's not in it is not every pastor that will do business. Do you follow my point? It's not. I know we're doing business by the Spirit. There are pastors that God says, sit down there. If you buy something and sell it, I will burn it. Say, but will I have money? Say, don't worry. People will still follow you, whether you have money or you don't have money. Say, those who are planning to go to heaven, they will follow you. Say, don't mind them. Those babalawos, they are following. Are they rich? The people of the world, the babalawos, they follow. Are they rich? People are too earthly minded. Some things will matter to them. When you hear revelation, when you see, you know, to be honest, let me give you a prayer point. Eh? Pray that God, that His power be manifested in our midst again.
Amen.
You see, when we don't have power, someone was saying that if the pastor doesn't have money, I can't follow him. Because he doesn't have anything. And if you don't have power, you should have money. Is that not so? If you don't have power, you should have money. That's what they are thinking. If you hear your pastor, the last two times dead people jammed him, they woke up. Will you care whether he has money or he doesn't have money? They talk to yen or pata anyhow. What do they call pata? Okay, it's yenka that says dust. Will you care? Because whether you like it or not, Peter says silver or gold, we don't have any. Such as we have, we give unto you. He took a lame man by the hand, saying, "The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Who cares whether he has silver or gold? Like one man was reputed to have said, those days, one day in the church in Rome, they were counting money. So I think a bishop now said, "Ha! Gone are the days when the church used to say, silver and gold, we had none." Because they were counting money, gold and all of that. And the priest now added, "And also gone are the days when they could say, such as we have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." We have exchanged the gold for the power to raise the limb. And somebody is telling me that it doesn't... we agree it was a joke, right? We are forgiven, Abby. We are forgiven. But it's a prayer we should pray. Say, "God, give us so much power, we don't care who has money and who doesn't." If you hear, see, Peter start church. Man, he passed the front of him in the house. Shadow. You know what they call shadow? One man, they were waiting for ambulance to carry him to hospital. Peter passed. Shadow crossed in stretcher. The guy jumped up and quickly dressed up and went to work. Who will care whether that Peter had money or he didn't have? How did we get there? We're talking about the will. The will. Number one, one of the major reasons why God can't bless people is a clash of wills. Clash of wills. Because they go to the left, they want to go to the right. And do you know, people stubbornly hold on to their position many times. Like Jonah. "You won't drown in Jesus' name." Say amen to that too.
Amen.
Jonah held on to the position. God drowned him. He didn't almost drown him. He drowned him. If you go and read your Bible well, Jonah had passed out. He had drowned by the time the fish picked him up. I used to think that Jonah was in the belly of the fish. It was dark. He was dead in the belly of the fish. After a few days, it's not the last person God rose up from the dead. After all, was not there for longer? He was there for longer. If you disobey God, you clash with His will, He will drown you, and He has no compunction. And God called me. Leave that in. God called Moses. One of the things He told Moses, "Go and circumcise your son." Zipporah said no. God said, "We should circumcise this boy now." Zipporah said no. It will pain him. Circumcision, the pain, we know. The God that said you should do it knew it will pain. Moses said, "Okay, if that's the way you want it, leave it now." You know, God didn't go to Zipporah. He came to Moses and choked him. And Moses woke up, and he passed out. Zipporah looked. Now angel said, "Which one the pain pass? Small circumcision on where your husband your pie like this?" That was when Zipporah quickly carried the boy. "They come and lie down, chase out, lie down there." Then they circumcised the boy. Now Oga got up. Do you know? I told you, Kenehiki, he told us the story of his life. They were suffering. See, suffering, if it is for God, is righteousness. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
If you are in the will of God and you are suffering, it's called righteousness. He was suffering. You know, these days, okay, if you are in ministry, there are different kinds of ministries. There There are ministries that look, pastor is well to do, church, just dash him house, car, all kinds of things. And there are pastors who some people say they can't follow. Don't they well? There are pastors that are ministering to people that they have to be dashing things. It's not that John telling us now that churches are springing up in Fulani settlements all over the place. I've seen one before. They sent me the video. Shady is here. We put ACs there. Fans are on. Yes, some people say, this place is hot. Pastor, maybe we should put a four horsepower standing unit at the door. It's not your fault, though. That one, this is the modern day, not 15th century. A few years ago, saw the video. Thatch, you know what they call thatch? Thatch, no thatch, that's dry grass. That's what they used to build the church. And I saw Fulani men arriving, and they were inside the place singing. The person that sent us the video said, please don't share this video around for security reasons. I told you the story of the Fulani man that stopped us. That said, please, can you find me 3,000 and I want to go and rescue my... And he removed his shirt and we saw his back where people had beaten him. And somebody advised him, go to the south. The persecution does not exist there for your faith. Nobody will kill you there because of your faith. That was when I took his wife. I don't know how many children, two or three of them, and they ran down. I told that the following week he came to come and beg me for money. Well, he didn't know who I was, just came to that area. And he located our office that some people here helped him the last time. Whether we could help him again. The brother answered him, didn't recognize him. He was not with us that night. So I heard the voice. I recognized that voice and that intonation. I came out. He said, yes, this man was there that day. So I said, what does he need? He said he needs money to buy shoe polish and shoe brush. So he could go around polishing shoes. He had learned it from his colleagues. So you see them carrying their things around. There are people who minister to such people. That's what I'm saying. And you know what? If that's where you minister, let me give you news in case you did not know before. You ain't driving an S-Class. You hear what I said? An S-Class is detrimental to your ministry. God didn't give you a Range Rover. In fact, he did not give you a Land Rover. What is going to give you at best? If he just look you, say you dey walk na motorcycle. And you want to know the truth? You are not poor. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
You are not poor. If he does that for you, you are not poor. God said, look, you know what I want to do for you? I'll make sure your wife is fine, your children are fine, you will have food to eat, and I will have them educated. But all of you, you stay in this village. Your cows, they go get body. Do you get my point? When you rear cow, I will heal them. When you farm corn, your harvest will be good. But you ain't going anywhere. If anybody entices you to Japan, to America, I will drown you the day you arrive. And God said, look, don't think I'm joking. Say, I sent Banky to warn you. People think they're going to be running up and die anyhow. There was one man of God I met. One day was gisting with me. He practiced somewhere in southern Nigeria here. That's pastors. Maybe things were not going as well as they should and all of that, you know, as they could. His friends now encouraged him to move to another country. So he accepted the invitation. He got to that country. He traveled and he arrived. The guest house they booked for him, he checked in there. You know, he's been traveling, so he was tired. So he laid down. And you know, as the leader, you know what happened? He had a dream. And in the dream, one other man of God, if I mention the name, you guys will know him. That one appeared to him in the motorcycle. Room and stopped. And I said, what are you doing here? There's a lot of work back home. And he rode the motorcycle and disappeared. And the guy woke up, packed his bag, took the next flight. Yes. He was telling me by himself. He said he took the next flight and came. The people were shocked. He didn't stay in that country for 24 hours. No, I'm not joking. He just packed his bag. He said, God, I beg. He said, thank you. You're very kind. Thank God you said it the easy way. I begged God, oh God, please, when I'm doing it wrong, Say it like that. Don't use the Koboko style. You know, there's a Koboko style. That one is very painful. So just do it like that. I will obey. No, just give me the spirit of obedience. Apart from telling me, pour the spirit of obedience, I will follow. I read one joke. Not really a joke, it really happened. There was a comment. There's this guy who, what they call free soloed, he climbed one of the tallest buildings in the world. The tallest, that one in Taipei 101. He climbed it on the side without rope, without support, with anything. Just wear a shoe, just climb up. Spider-Man. And climb to the top. That was a few days ago. So, that guy is very funny. He can climb rocks that are just smooth to you. You climb it with ordinary hand and leg, you know. Now, this is a joke. And somebody, they said two guys went to go and climb. So they walked 1 hour to the foot of the mountain. So when they go to the foot of the mountain, they brought their sandwich. They didn't eat small before they start climbing. So while they were eating, they suddenly heard a sheep, you know, meh. As he began shout, meh, and there was falling, oh, and fell in front of them. Wow. From on top. And you know, it scattered, it flattened there. The guys, they looked at each other. They said, God, we get the point. They said, God, we get the point. They passed their back. I walked 1 hour back. They didn't climb again. That's what they call a sacrificial lamb. A sacrificial lamb was sacrificed for them. The guy said they went back. Say, God, we get the point. Today when I read it in there, it was a comment. I laughed and laughed and laughed. I said, God, I get the point. Don't do me like the sheep. This man said, as I got there, he just entered, he took the next plane and came back. Please, God has a will. It's not everywhere you will go. It's not just where you will go, you will go. Where you want to go, you will go. Sometimes I see people fight the will of God. Let me tell you, following the will of God is not always easy. It's not. Maybe next time, because I'm watching my time, maybe next time we'll come back, we'll now pray the prayers. But the will of God must be followed. What did I say? Following it is not always easy. But the will of God must be followed. And it's the will of God is not a shortcut to what you want to. It is a cut, whether you call it long or short, to what he determined. Are you getting my point? Let nobody come and say, don't worry, if you do like this, eventually. No, there's no eventually. What should matter to you that does this please God? I said something the other time, let me say it again. Please, in the name of the Lord, I beg you, don't change locations just because you were given another opportunity that looks better. Jobs, locations, stuff like that. Change must be with intense prayer. See, that's what real fasting is about. That is what real, see, fasting is not this one, all my enemies, all my prayer. No, it's God. See, I'm finishing school. What will NYSC hold? Where do you want me to go? God, please, let me go where you want me to go. See, you're looking for work. Three jobs will come in front of you. One, just for purpose of explanation, one will pay 200 naira a month, and that will pay 500, one will pay 2,000. Don't just assume the 2,001 is the will of God. Take the three and say, Lord, what do you say? Or do you say none of them? Don't just grab the one that's 2,000, because God has a will. Because God has a will. He has a will. And his will is not indicated by money. He can decide that it's the 200 naira one you should take. He has his reason. He can decide it's the 2,000 one. He has his reason. He can say it's the one for 500. He has his reason. Do you get my point? The important thing that you have a heart that says his will is final. How will you manifest is a different matter. But brethren, his will must be what? Final. That what should matter to you is that I believe this is where God wants me to be. Physical circumstances may not look like it, but I'm persuaded this is where God wants me to be. And it doesn't mean you're being irrational. Like I say all the time, faith does not mean we're irrational. Faith is that we use the rationality of the Spirit. It is possible. Okay, like this boy, I'll tell you, wanted to climb. When the lamb fell down, this is a sign from God, they went home. Do you get my point? It could be that God would just, that night before that morning, when you saw the offers, it could be, I'm not saying it to be, that the Lord, through a dream, told you, all that glitters is not gold. And once you did the offer, you just remember that statement in your dream. All that glitters is not gold. So you know this one is glittering. The money is 10 times that of this one. So like I was saying, the good Lord will reveal to you. If you go and read the book of Romans chapter 11, when it says by faith, we do stuff. We do things by faith. What that simply means is that faith comes by hearing. It's only based on what we have heard. And God's word comes different ways to us. And that's what we are gunning for. And when we go to pray, we are saying to the Lord, communicate your will. Let me be subject to your will. Let my will be subdued by yours. Let it be subsumed into your will. I want my will, all right? Like we say, none of me, but all of you. Now, that is only achieved in the place of prayer. Remember, the will of God cannot be negotiated. It is his will or nothing. The will of God cannot be negotiated. And please, don't make deals with God. What did I say? Please, don't make deals. I will do this and you will do this. There's nothing like that. I will obey you and you will take care of everything. That's all. Yeah, that's what he has already promised. Your own job is to obey. Your own assignment is to find out the will and obey. Don't give him conditions. Don't give him clauses. No ifs, no buts. It's just that, Lord, I just want to be sure this is what you want. It doesn't mean you can't have fears and lay them down before him. You can put your fears down before him. You can let him see. But it is not like, Lord, you know, if you don't bless me, I can't. No, I will. I will. I will. Now, if you want a blessing in an area, ask for it. But don't join it together. Don't make one dependent on another. I hope you're getting my point. God, if you bless me, then I will do this for you. No. God, is this what you want me to do? Please give me the strength so I can do it. All right? People say, I agree with God. I will do this one and he will. No, don't. See, I hear those testimonies. I shake my head. That God didn't hear you. You are the one that thinks he did. Your own job is just find out, does this please him? Is this what he wants? If he says it is, then that should satisfy you that you can beat your chest that I have done the will of him that sent me and I am finishing his work. Jesus said, what satisfies me is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That's what you need to do. Just tell yourself, have I found, and if you haven't, continue to pray. And listen, we'll talk about that next time. The issue of laying down your fears, because one major reason why people can't obey God and do his will, all right, is the things that they fear. Are you getting my point? David called it that, how did he say it again? He said, my anxious thoughts, yes. It's called anxious thoughts. Anxious thoughts. There are people that say that they know that God wants me to do this, but how? I'll give an example. Those days, not now. Now, the things are different. If God calls somebody to ministry those days, he's afraid of poverty. I hope you're getting my point. So many people didn't answer the call because God wants to take me away from where I have plenty of money to where I will not have. If you have such fears, not a problem. Pray about these fears. Not, listen to this, not as if God solved this for me and I will obey. No. It's God that I'm going to obey. But this thing is bothering my heart. And it's a good father. We'll talk about it next time. We'll see, because God has given us scriptures, things to help us. You know what he said? Seeing that he has given us all these magnificent promises, so that by them we can obey God. With them we do warfare against the things that try to scare us away from the will of God. So that statements like Demas has departed from me, having fallen in love with this present generation, will not be our portion. That's it. But these things are not done by self-determination. they are done through prayer. He said, draw near to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in that time of need. Let's bow down. Next time we'll take the scriptures I wanted us to read. We took a lot of time to teach today. All right, next time we'll take the scriptures. We'll read the scriptures and use them to pray, just like we did last time. Let's give the Lord thanks.